Rutherford Issues with Brian Barrett on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
Well, Rutherford Issues is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. Sharing Change has donated over $11 million to local nonprofits. Find out how your spare change makes a big impact. SharingChange.org. Well, speaking of big impacts, our friends from the Child Advocacy Center are here. Krista Colwell is with us today. You like come every time, except last month, right?
Except last month.
I can't remember.
I think I was out of town or had another conflict, but
something going on.
No, I think Sharon really wanted.
Sharon, she was.
We were
here
celebrating her 25th and the 25th, and
I had to stand up straighter.
We had to do a switch.
Yeah, you know, when she comes in. But and now you have brought in someone who's been with us before, but not in a while, and Presley is just laying out today.
Right? Yeah, no, she's just slacking like always. Presley's probably asleep right now. No, I brought Elizabeth, one of our forensic interviewers.
How are you?
Great.
We were just talking about how you check the weather often, so on your phone. So. But good to have you with us today. How long have you been at the CAC?
It was 7 years in July.
7 years?
Yes.
Wow. So. You're kind of getting up there. It's not Sharon numbers, but I mean,
not Sharon, you know, numbers, but pretty good.
Yeah. Such a tough job you have. We're going to talk a little bit about some of that, but maybe some thoughts on your 25th anniversary. It's been a big month and celebrated, what, 2 weeks ago? Was it 2 weeks ago?
Something just about,
like that.
Yeah.
With a ribbon cutting, but it was more of an event and kind of a who's who there.
Yeah, it was so amazing to see the support from so many local leaders and folks who have supported us for a super long time. I mean, it's always nice because we get to see those people usually on their own ground, but it was so special to see everyone show up and celebrate us.
Yeah. Lots of cupcakes.
Lots of cupcakes. Yes. Lots of cupcakes, lots of food.
Did you all eat cupcakes for days after, or did you?
We managed to deal them out.
Did you? Nice.
I only got to have the one.
So. Okay. Well, I noticed that there were hundreds there and people saying, "You want? Would you like a cupcake?" I don't know. I got offered a cupcake like 10 times. So, you know, it was wonderful just to see all the people there and the people wanting to support and things like that. So, Elizabeth, it probably at least lets you feel some gratitude to know that the community is behind what the CAC is doing.
Very much so, because we are a job that's kind of like behind the scenes a lot of the time.
Yeah.
So just being able to see that there are people out there who are supporting us and loving on us is always really nice.
To be in the forefront sometimes is an uncomfortable place.
Yes, it is.
But especially if you spend your time trying to not be. But,
right.
You know, there are times, and this obviously is one of those, you know, it also says something that you've had the same director. I mean, when I typed up the word founding executive director, you know, it just makes you think, and it's 25 years. So Sharon's got a lot of connections.
Yes, 100%. For sure.
Yeah, she knows where everything is hidden, doesn't she?
Yeah.
What rocks to turn over and things like that. So, well, that takes us to Krista. You kind of help put on events and things like that. I don't know about this. Was not necessarily a fundraising event,
yeah,
but I'm sure your hand was all over it.
It was a group effort, like always. But yeah, the events and opportunities for the community to come together. We have a team of 14 now, so it's always nice. We all have our own lanes, but are always helping each other out. I could never do what Elizabeth does, but I love having events where people can show up, we can meet people, because again, there's a lot of different ways to support the mission of what we do, and making sure that local businesses, local donors know that they can invest in our mission and keeping kids safe is so special to me. So events like that are always super rewarding. On the free front, when we're picking up everything and going crazy, yeah, it's always a bit chaotic, but looking around and seeing everyone show up for you and say such kind words about the work that we do is always so special. So I'm excited to do it again here soon in a couple of weeks.
Well, if all 14 of you were to go into the office, you'd have a 3-foot by 3-foot square.
Yeah, Preston would be sitting on my lap, yeah, and we'd have to stack a couple desks. But
and that was part of the vision that was cast, about, we need a home for the future.
Absolutely.
And so I know our next event is going to help with that and the events that that you do going forward. So hopefully some big exciting news in the next months, years ahead for the CAC. But tell us about Light Up the Night.
Yeah, Light Up the Night is our end of summer. I know that's so sad for me to be saying. End of summer party at Oakland's Mansion. And it's one of our fundraisers that helps tremendously with our operating costs. But overall, it's just a really fun night. Our goal is to light up the night for child abuse victims. It's something that often thrives in the dark, something you're not supposed to talk about, something you're supposed to just kind of keep hidden. And our goal is to encourage different types of conversations, saying like, it's okay to talk about there's support for past, present, and future victims of child abuse. So we come out, we join together. It's a great opportunity to meet a lot of our SIPIT team, folks like Elizabeth, who are doing this work every day. So it also kind of serves as a celebration and a thank you to the work that they're doing day to day. And we have tons of food, lots of drinks. We're having a live band again this year, and it's at Oakland's Mansion, who's always been so good to us. And it's one of my favorite nights, and we're sticking with the casino theme again. So you can play some games with some fun money, hit up the photo booth, and have a great night.
You know, when you go back and you continue a theme that you've done before, it means that everyone enjoyed it.
Everyone had a blast last year, so we had to bring it back.
Yeah. So what is the date of that?
September 12th. It'll be that Friday from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m.
All right. Make sure I get all of that on the podcast too. And it's a ticketed event?
Yes. So we still have some early bird tickets on sale for $100. And we have, I think, one VIP table left as well if you want to bring a big group. But we will, as long as we have tickets still available, we'll have some same day sales available too. If you're a last minute, don't know what my plans are for that Friday.
Yeah, last minute.
Especially after Labor Day, a lot of folks don't know, but we have a good group of people coming already. So
yeah,
be sure to get your ticket before they're gone.
Okay, so is it no white after Labor Day? Is that what the thing is?
No white unless it's supporting a really, really good cause. Okay. Like the Child Advocacy Center.
Yeah, you want to wear
that's
your white.
I think that's the same.
Yes, you wear white. That's what it is.
Yeah.
I knew that's what it was. Not that I'm a fashionista or anything, but Elizabeth, the work that you do as an interviewer, I know we talked about this, I guess, the last time you were here, but how do you compartmentalize those things? I mean,
yeah. So like I said, I've been doing it for 7 years. I probably should have like a better answer for this, but really, I'm just really good at kind of like leaving it at the office, leaving it when I step out of the room with that kid. I do have two children of my own. And if I sat and just, thought about everything that I had heard, my kids would literally live in a bubble and never go anywhere. So I just have to remember that I have personally given my kids tools to keep them safe. This job has allowed me to know things to tell my children to keep them safe, and so I have to just remember that and kind of just continue on and remember that yes, I hear terrible stories every day, but there are also still amazing people out there who love our kids.
Sure.
So
I don't know, I wish I could. It's a superpower, I'm telling you, to be able to leave your work. I mean, because this business, your work is really never finished. Your to-do list always has something else on it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I would think yours does too. It's just one child after another, and not to dwell on that.
Yes.
I mean, that's important for you.
Yeah.
Sanity.
Yes. There definitely are those cases that come in and for whatever reason just kind of hit a little bit different and hit a little harder. And we have a great team at the CAC. So, like, I can call up my supervisor and kind of, like, debrief and be like, okay, she's also a forensic interviewer. So just kind of be like, hey, this is what happened. I need to dump for a second and just kind of dump that out.
And people probably do that with you.
Yes. It's a... give and take kind of things. So.
Especially if you're one that can just kind of leave it behind.
Yes.
Oh, Elizabeth can handle this, right? That's what it usually is. But yeah, when you're in the room with it, I mean, is it just you and the child?
Yeah. So the way it is set up at the CAC is there's what we call like the actual forensic interviewing room. That's me and the child. And then there is an observation room. So that's going to have DCS and law enforcement or both in it. And they are watching us live via a video feed. So we are alone, but not alone in a sense. Mm-hmm. And so they're watching the whole interview to gather any information that they need.
And while that's going on, I'm sure, I guess it's being recorded for use.
Yes.
In prosecution and things like that.
Yes. So all of our interviews are recorded and they are admissible in court. So those are used quite frequently. And we are called to testify in lots of trials throughout the year to help these kids get the justice that they deserve.
Yeah. I have to think, what about the parents or guardians, if it involves parents or, you know, someone, whoever brought this child there?
Yeah.
I mean,
So for the parents or guardian, whoever ends up bringing them or has like custody of the child, we have what's called a family advocate. So they are out there speaking with the parents, guardian, while the child is back in the forensic interviewing room with me. So they're getting resources, they're getting support, while and kind of being talked through like what this whole process is going to look like, because generally coming to the CAC is like one of the first things that happens in one of these investigations. So just kind of getting a better understanding of exactly what's going to happen, what the next steps are, that's happening for the parents. And those family advocates are there for those parents for years to come. Anytime they might have a question or something comes up later down the road, they are always able to call the CAC and talk to those advocates.
Unfortunately for them, this is kind of like the start of the journey, like you were saying.
Right.
Kids probably, they're very resilient, I can say, you know, but do they, I mean, it has to be very difficult for them, nerve-wracking, just to be in a room. They don't know you.
Right.
So yeah. You have to do a lot to build that rapport early, I think.
Right. Yeah, that's the very beginning part, is just kind of building some rapport with them, getting them comfortable with being in the situation that they're in, and just kind of getting them to open up with me. That's what all of my training is about. So, yeah.
It's pretty remarkable. You know, I interview people for a living. I don't know that I couldn't do that. I couldn't do your job. It just takes a special person to do that, I think.
It is. It's a little bit different.
Yeah. Kind of. Yeah. But, I mean, I have people who are nervous. They come in, that kind of thing, and whatever you can do to make them comfortable. You employ those same kinds of things.
Right.
You know, but I just don't have any, you know, stuffed rabbits or anything to give or whatever it takes.
You need fidget toys, I think. Fidget toys. That'll make all the difference.
Have some fidget spinners.
Yeah. If I did that with my 26-year-old son, there would be a room full of fidget spinners. We're both kind of cut out of that same mold. But, you know, and do you have to talk to these kids more than one time, or is it usually this is the time that they, and that's part of the whole thing, that they don't have to relive this time and time again?
Yes. So before the CAC model, kids would often have to disclose this stuff over and over again. So like they would tell a teacher and the teacher would be like, oh, we need to tell the counselor. They would tell the counselor, oh, we need police. Oh, we need DCS. Yeah. So they're having to share the story over and over again. And the whole point of the CAC model is that after that initial disclosure, when someone becomes aware, they should be able to come to the CAC, lay it all out there, and then hopefully not have to talk about it again. That's not to say that there's not more stuff that they might want to talk about later to someone else or whatever, but that just initial get it all out there should really only happen that one time. Yeah.
And then if it goes, when it goes to court or whatever happens in that, that's used as evidence. So, you know, a year later, after how far back they're backed up on cases and stuff, you know, that's the testimony.
Right.
I gotcha. Wow. Very interesting stuff. You work with some pretty amazing people, don't you?
No, truly. It's such a good team. And like Elizabeth said, everyone is so supportive and always has each other's backs. And especially at a job like this where you are hearing so much secondary trauma, like having an environment where people are encouraged to take care of themselves and take time for themselves is so important. So I'm super grateful that that's the culture that we have at the CAC.
So Light Up the Night helps you continue to do and staff and do the things that, that you do here. So
exactly. So please buy your ticket. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're gearing up. We have a lot of great silent auction items this year as well, which I'm really excited about. A couple that I'm ready to bid on. So
where do we find out more?
Yeah, so check us out at cacrutherford.org under the events tab. You can check out sponsorship information if you're still interested in a table, as well as individual ticket sales as well.
Okay. I'll put a link on the podcast there as well and keep reminding folks. Light Up the Night is at Oakland's Mansion, worth going to. Hey, you want a nice romantic setting and fun setting, go to check it out. September 12th, 6 to 9 p.m. That's on a Friday. And Light Up the Night, our friends from the Child Advocacy Center joining us today, Carista Colwell, Elizabeth Benton. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And that is going to do it for the show. We'll see you back here next time.